in the adventure that is preaching, and it can be an adventure, especially if the sermon you wrote and tried to finish this morning you threw out, just didn't come together. Talking about citizenship all through the week, I could present an academic kind of thing, but that's not where I am, and I don't think that's where we as a church family need to be. So I'm going to one of the other lectionary passages, which fortunately the Hebrews passage that Evan read also goes significantly with. And this is from the book of Genesis. It's the first book of the Bible, and the 15th chapter. I'm going to read just 6 verses of it, I'm just going to read 6 verses of it. And verse 6 is one of the most significant statements in the Old Testament and is made use of, especially by the Apostle Paul, in key, very significant points in the New Testament. We're going to talk about Abraham, but I want you to note in this passage, he is not yet Abraham. He is Abram. He has not yet been given his new and full name by God. And that's significant. We'll talk about that in a moment. Listen to God's word from the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis, the first 6 verses of the 15th chapter. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. God brought Abram outside and said, Look toward the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter functions something like the Hall of Fame of Faith. You can read it. It begins with a statement about faith, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, and it starts off going back with Abel, and it goes through many, many of the Old Testament saints, but the one who gets the most press, the most words, the most used as the example of faith in this chapter is Abraham. I'm going to call him Abraham now, probably even when he wasn't, because the writer of the book of Hebrews refers to him as Abraham, because he goes, even at the 8th verse, he talks about where we first encounter Abraham in the Bible, and that is at Genesis chapter 12. By faith, so says the writer of the book of Hebrews. By the way, we don't really know who wrote Hebrews. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And it goes down, by faith he did this. By faith he did this. By faith he did this. All the way down through the verses that Evan read for us, and that was through verse 16. If I had known I was going to preach what I was going to preach on, I would have extended the reading a little bit to verse 17 to 20, or 19 rather, which says this: by faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered Isaac. And it goes on from there. We'll come back to that. By faith, by faith, by faith. In fact, the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians uses a phrase for Abraham that in a way seeks to encapsulate his life. He calls him faithful Abraham. Or another way to translate it is Abraham, the man of faith. It is the characteristic that best and most describes Abraham. And that's one reason why Abraham is such an important figure in three major faiths. In Judaism, and because of Judaism, Christianity, but also in Islam. Not through Isaac, but through Ishmael. Three faiths for this one father, Abraham. We encounter Abraham in the book of Genesis with these words. In chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Next three words. So Abram went. God called him to leave his home and to go to a place that Abram did not yet know where he would end up, but Abram went. At that time, he was 75 years old, and God promised to Abram that he would have descendants, a great many descendants, and he would become, through him, a great nation. And years went on. And years went on, and Abram got older and older, and Sarai, who becomes Sarah, his wife, got older and older, and still what God had promised hadn't yet happened. So it meant that a slave within his household, Eliezer of Damascus, would be the one who would inherit everything. That was according to the law and custom of the day. And so Abraham has this conversation with God, and he reminds God of the promise that God made to him. And he reminds God of the promise, and God says to him, it's not going to be Eliezer of Damascus. It's going to be someone your own flesh and blood. And God brought him outside, and he said, look up in the stars. See if you can count them. And God said, so shall your descendants be, meaning they're going to be innumerable. And indeed, they did become that. But here's one of the most important verses in the Bible. Verse 6, it says this, and it can be a little tricky to figure out what he's saying. And Abram believed the Lord, Yahweh, L, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, God's name, Yahweh, or God. Abraham believed God. Didn't believe in God. He already believed in God. He was already obedient, as he would also later be obedient to what God would ask him to do, would call Abraham to do. But that isn't what this verse says. It doesn't say that Abraham believed in God. It says he believed God. He believed what God promised. He believed what God said in that specificity, that like the stars of the sky, all his descendants would be. And it didn't make any sense because he and his wife were way past the age of childbearing. But God promised it, and even though that promise had gone unfulfilled for year after year after year, and from a human standpoint, it looked like that Abram, that was never going to be fulfilled. But Abram believed him. And then it says this. This is where it says, and the Lord, Yahweh, reckoned it to Abram as righteousness. Odd kind of language. It's kind of like legal language. One translation of the Contemporary English Version says this: Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord was pleased with him. Yeah, that's certainly there. Good News for Modern Man, which I think is an earlier version of the Contemporary English Version, says that God was pleased with him and accepted him. Here is what's happening here, and here is the way the Apostle Paul uses this incident. Abraham became in a right relationship with God. Something changed because of his faith. Because Abraham believed God. That's what it says. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it. What's it? Abram's faith in the specific promise of God. And God counted that, God took that as the way of accepting Abraham, in relationship with God, in a right relationship, righteousness, justice, justification, all those things. And that's the way the Apostle Paul refers back to this passage. It wasn't Abraham's obedience that put him in a right relationship with God. That's what we might think. But it was Abram's believing God that put him in a right relationship by faith. Now, we could go on and try to make some Christological sense of this by saying that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham, that through his seed all the nations of the world would be blessed. And so some make a case and say that Abram is really, maybe even without knowing it, believing in Christ. And therefore, he can be accepted by God, even as an Old Testament saint. I don't think we have to get all that wrapped up in trying to do to make the text that. It does say that, and I think one could argue that. But the point that's just so clear is that Abram had faith. And to have faith means to believe God. By faith, back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go. By faith, chapter 11, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. He believed God. And then verse 17, by faith Abraham, and by this time he is Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told, it is through Isaac that descendants shall be named for you. Abraham considered the fact that God is able even to raise someone from the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. That incident takes place in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, and you know this story, but let me tell you that in the 22nd chapter, he's not Abram anymore, he's Abraham, indicative of the new relationship that he had with God by believing God. You know that story about Abraham and Isaac, and what a harsh story that is. For some people, this is a real stumbling block to talking anything about the love of God. You know, the story, God tells Abraham to take his son Isaac, who's a bit grown then, to go and take him and sacrifice him, kill him, as an offering to God. That's what's going on here. You know the story. Probably have heard it. And people say, oh my gosh, that's child sacrifice, that's child abuse, and how can we feel good about not only Abraham who's willing to do this to his son, but the God who tells him to do it? How can we? But see, here's the thing. First of all, God did stop him before he sacrificed Isaac, although Abraham was willing to. And there is a lot of Christological Christ imagery going on here. The only son carrying the wood on his back up to the altar, that where the sacrifice was to take place was on Mount Moriah. Well, Mount Moriah was the future Jerusalem, not just the future Jerusalem, but it was the Temple Mount. It was the mount upon which the temple would be built. There's all kinds of stuff going on here. But basically, it's this. We know, and Abraham knew, that he really did believe God. Because this didn't make any sense. God, after all these years, keeps his promise to me by my having a son, Abraham would say, of his own flesh through Abraham and Sarah. And now he's telling me to sacrifice that son? And how the heck am I going to have descendants like the stars in the sky if I do that? But here's the thing. Abraham believed God. That's what faith is. It's believing God even if we aren't exactly sure what God is up to. It's believing, not just believing in God. Can't stress that enough. So many, 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 many people believe in God, but it's a whole lot less who believe God. Well, here's the application, folks. What is God calling you to believe? For what do you need to believe God? Is it that God's word and God's promises are true? Well, if you believe that, what would your life look like? If you not only believed in God, but believed God. What would that kind of faith translate into your life? When we're confronted with a death, like Karen's today, any one of our loved ones, that's a challenge to faith. It's one thing to say, I believe in God, but it's another thing to say, I believe God, that there is life after death, that there is resurrection, that these mortal bodies will be destroyed, but they'll be raised in newness of life. Do you believe God? Do you believe God when God says Even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear any evil because I am with you. Even when you don't feel like God is with you, even when the evidence of your life might seem to suggest that God isn't with you, do you believe God? When God says that we're to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, all of it, and our neighbors as we love ourselves, do we believe God? What would our stewardship campaign look like if we did that? Well, that's really about all I got today. But it's a fair question, I think. It wasn't Abraham's obedience, either before that big faith event by being willing to move his whole family, nor was it his willingness to sacrifice his son that put him in a right relationship with God. It was his faith. Abraham believed God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.